In one of our interviews, I've had several interviews. I am losing count of it, but I think there were about 10, 12 interviews over a period of time, or maybe more. In one of the interviews in Whitefield, Swami called us for an interview. And that was one of the early interviews. And I said, I wish I had brought my camera along. I don't have my camera. But then there's nothing we could do. By then, Swami had done whatever was done inside, and he came outside and told us, now please come in. So we went inside the interview room in Whitefield, in Threy. And I went and sat down with Swami, and my son was also there. Yes, my son was also there. We also sat down there. And my wife was also there. My mother was there. Swami called us in and we sat down around Swami, and there were some other people, and there was a student also there inside. The student had a camera with him. Now, when Swami is sitting, you can't do pus-pus-pus-pus and tell him, I want this, I want that. But in my mind, while talking to Swami also, while interacting with him, I would always sit next to him and I would hold on to his charan while we are talking, and Swami enjoyed it. Or if charan not there, then Swami's hand, I would just put my hand on Swami and carry on for the rest of the interview this way till he got us into the inner sanctum. We went inside. Nothing happened. But I was aware that there's a student outside and photo hona chahiye. But it was all in my mind, and I wondered, how should I tell? I can't tell Swami, Swami, I want a photograph like this. We came outside. The interview finished, 45 minutes or whatever. And finally said, Swami said, ke chalo, apna apna kaam ke liye jao. Go for your works. Go for your work. I suppose it must be a working day that time. Then Swami all of a sudden said, wait, we must have a family photo. So he looked at the student. Oh, tumhare paas camera hai? Do you have a camera with you? He said, yes. He said, photo lo. And family photo. Now, there were some foreigners there were some others there. Swami didn't ask them. He said, family photo, because I was a family. My mother was with me. My father had passed away by then. My mother was with me, myself, my wife, my son Ashish. My daughter that day was not there. Now, we went around Swami, and that's the time when I was holding Swami by his shoulder, on his shoulder, and my wife one side, my mother on his charan, at his charan, and Misa on the other, etc. He took a photograph. Swami, I said, thank you. So he said, Swami said, no, 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 wait, come back. He said, ek aur photo lo. Take one more photograph. So he took another photograph. I was wondering, why is same pose, everything same, two photographs. And finally, after the long and short is that we all thereafter broke off and we went away. So when we went away, I told the student, you must give me a photograph. And we left it at that. After 1 week or 10 days, I told them, there was a young boy who had taken a photograph. And I don't know who the person was, but I want that photograph. It may not be of any use to anybody else because it was a family photograph. He sent us a photograph. He gave me a photograph. In fact, he sent a complete roll. He said, this whole roll is for you. I was wondering, why 36 photographs? When I opened the roll, 35 photographs were overexposed. There was only one photograph, that 18th photo or 19th or 20th or whatever that photograph was. Only one photograph, the 20th photograph, was in order. All others, including the 19th photograph, when Swami said, ek aur photo lo, take one more photo, because Swami knew that this camera reel, nothing will come out of this, and that 19th photograph will not come. That's why he said, ek aur photo lo. And he took another photograph. That photograph is still lying with me at home. All others is a washout. Now, here again, it's a question of Swami's omni, omnipresent, omnilucent, and whatever. And Swami knows, he knows actually, materially and otherwise, on what is going to happen next. Am I meeting the needs? Am I giving happiness to my devotees? I would have been heartbroken had the complete reel been a washout and this photograph would not have come. After how frequently do you get an opportunity to be with Swami and take a photograph for posterity. Now, this photograph is lying with me for posterity. My son will take it, my grandson, as long as the photograph doesn't fade away, that memory will remain. And it is right next to my bed and I enjoy seeing it. Okay, now I'll tell you one more, which is not so serious towards life and death, but otherwise in terms of how Swami looks at us in terms of telling us what is our responsibility in life. We have a tendency for everything, Baba help, for everything, Baba help. My son is getting married, Baba help. My daughter is getting birthday, my daughter has a birthday, Swami help. My grandchild is getting into school, Swami help. Swami just laughs it off. Now I'll tell you again, you are aware of my son Ashish. And I have a daughter, Pooja. When my son Ashish was to get married, his cards were made. And the first card, obviously, as is customary and traditional in our devotee families, the first card goes to Swami. We were in Bangalore and Ashish was also in Bangalore and he was to be getting married to his the girl that we had chosen again in Bangalore. So it was basically a Bangalore to Puttaparthi. We came here with the card and my mother had said, I will take one card and you keep one card. I am sitting outside. Swami may come, may not come. We've only come for 2 days or 3 days. And you keep one card in the upper veranda and sitting right next to the secretary where he used to sit in front, the third from the interview room. He said, Swami is bound to come to you. You give it to him. I said, fine. Now, Swami came and he took the card from Mataji. That's what he called. He called my mother Mataji. So Swami came. He took the card from her. He just took it, nodded, and put it along with 5 or 6 letters that I had given. My mother had given. My sister's letter, my second sister's letter, my wife's letter, her letter, Ashish's letter. Ashish was not there. Ashish's letter, my daughter's letter. She had a bundle of letters. And since Ashish's two in-laws are also my devotee family, you met the father-in-law yesterday. His wife, her name is Meena. She was also sitting there. Her letter. No, she was not there. I'm sorry. Correction. She was not there, but her letter was also in. Swami took the complete bundle. It along with the card. And then he came into the portico and there he stood in front of me. I showed him this thing. Swami said, why are you giving me this card again? I've already taken one from Mataji, from your mother. So don't give it to me. I said, sorry, Swami. I did not know. And I kept the card down. He still had the bundle with him. You see, he generally passes the, as soon as he receives 10, 15 of them, he gives it to the gentleman in the rear, to the student in the rear to put it into the bag. In this case, this bundle of 7, 8 letters, of the letters which my mother had given, he held them on and remaining he would pass on. And when he came to me, he had the bundle and he said, the card has already come to me. Why are you giving it? And he put it back. I said, Swami, only for blessings. Then he, without looking at the bundle, he took out one letter from inside. And that letter was written by, not from my family, but from Ashish's to-be mother-in-law, Meena Narula, the gentleman you met, his wife. He said, who is Meena? I said, Swami, this is to-be mother-in-law of Ashish. To-be mother-in-law, abhi kyon diya hai? She is part of your family. I had nothing to say. And says, sorry, Swami. That's it. He put it back. He says, koi baat nahi. I said, Swami, blessing chahiye. He said, hum har waqt blessing karta hai. Aap select karo, hum bless karega. Which means, what he really meant was that you got to handle yourself and decision making by using your head. Use your head, decide, come to me, I will bless. That's one lesson learned. He says, when you are handling others, use your heart, I will bless. Now, here is something very interesting. It may not be there in any books, I don't know. He says, when you are handling yourself and going to take a decision from inside your family, like selecting a groom or a bride for your Children, use your head. Be careful. Use your head. Don't use your heart. Use your head and come to me and I'll bless you. But when you're handling others in decision making, use your heart. Your conscience, which is in your heart, will guide you to a right decision. These two sentences which he explained that time, they have their weight in gold. Which is very correct. Within the house, use your head to take a decision. Is that girl okay for you? Is that boy okay? Why should you run across, Swami, look for a boy for me, look for a girl for me, and etc.? He says, use your head, take a decision. I'll help you tide over a problem if there's one. Or I'll reduce your problems. I'll bless you. When you're dealing with outsiders, with others, on whom you have no control, use your heart to take a decision. Heart means, what we generally say is, heart is your conscience. Your conscience will guide you. And what is conscience? It is God. God's words. Heart will tell you what is to be done. Now, those are something very interesting, which I learned from Swami on this small issue of cards. Again, the issue is again of giving something to Swami, a small issue again. My mother and my wife were sitting together and we wanted accommodation inside. The devotees were increasing, the lots of accommodation had been made, and somebody told us that you can purchase accommodation that time. I think it was 80,000 or 60,000 or something per flat. Or was it 48,000, 50,000? So my mother said, I want accommodation here. And I said, yes, why not? Though we had come so many times, and every time we used to go to the accommodation office, sir, Mr. Chand, and before him somebody else, and accommodation was always there. Swami had never said no. I mean, the accommodation officer never said no. So my mother had written a check, and my father was not that time. He had passed away. And when she was sitting there, Swami came to her. Kya chahiye? What do you want? She was blank. She had an envelope with him. He just took the envelope and went ahead. He didn't open the envelope. He didn't open the envelope. He just took it and went ahead. Then he came inside in the portico, upper veranda. And there I was sitting there. He came to me. Swami, whenever he came, he used to come to me. He used to love me. I used to love him. He came to me and he said, Mataji, check diya hai accommodation ke liye. I said, yes, Swami. He said, have I ever denied you accommodation? I said, no. Then why do you want to waste money? Don't waste money. Tell Mataji to take the check back and you will always get accommodation here. Last 40 years, I've been coming here. Not once has the accommodation officer ever said, I'm sorry, there's no accommodation available. Never. Never. Even if I come all of a sudden and plonk myself here that I want accommodation, yes, sir. And accommodation would always be given. Now, here again, Hoff, he feels, is there somebody who's rich? Maybe he would have taken it. If there's somebody who doesn't even have a husband for an additional income, he feels it. He said, look, why do you want? He's aware of it. In the military, we are generally short of funds. Our income is really not much to be proud of. Though he understands that. And he returned the check and he said, you will never be denied accommodation hereafter. Not that there was no accommodation earlier. We've been having accommodation. And accommodation was always available. Thereafter, we went to the accommodation office. No, a message came to me from the accommodation office. Please report to the accommodation office. We went there and he said that, Swami, you had given a check to Swami. The Swami has sent it back to Satyajit or maybe a person before that. I don't remember. And here's the envelope. I believe it has got a check. Please take it back. And the check came back to us. Small issue, but how concerned Swami is for his devotees. He knew that we can't really afford it. I mean, asking for 1 lakh, 2 lakh rupees at that particular time in 80s or whatever, 80s or 90s, it was a substantial amount. My mother would certainly have felt the pinch of it. She didn't ask me where the money came from, but maybe it was my father's savings and from that she was wanting to give it. But throughout the life that she led, God bless her soul now, whatever life she led, she always got accommodation wherever she had wanted. That was a personal equation between Swami and his devotees. I have had a number of sessions in the Treyi, which the students call it as Treyi sessions. And that is where you said that you've seen me give us several talks. I had, I think, about 6 or 8 of them. And Swami would call me. In, I think it was the second session, when I was called inside and I was sitting just 4 feet away from Swami. That used to be, I used to be sitting right next to, in front of Baba and myself. There used to be one odd student in front. And that's where I was. Now, Swami, when everybody was seated in all that August gathering and the students, Swami told me, come up. I knew it was coming because in the earlier meeting, in the earlier 3 session also, he would start with me. So I got up, I went to Swami and Swami said, bolo. I asked Swami, Swami, subject batao. He said, no, and pick up any subject. I said, Swami, I may speak about something which is not relevant. Aap suggest karo.
You tell to, me.
You tell. Aap suggest karo. You suggest. I'll speak. So he looked at me and he said, theek hai, personality ke upar baat karo. I said, theek hai, sir. It just took me 5 seconds to take his pad namaskar and then get up. And that gave me the time to think. See, personality development is a very general subject. Your personality is a physical personality, it is an emotional personality, it is a spiritual personality. Now, what is it the Swami wanted, I did not know. But considering that there were students there and they really do not really so much interested in the emotional personality or the mental personality or the spiritual, they are more interested in, when you say personality, they are looking at your turnout and things like that. So I decided to speak on the physical personality. The way the first impression of a man is, so I spoke about the physical personality. I spoke for about 5 to 10 minutes. I was aware of it that really people are not interested in devotees speaking. Everybody wants Swami to be speaking and that's what they have come here for. Swami is to be heard, not others. So I finished it. I said, Swami, I'm done. He says, no, speak more. I looked at him and said, speak, speak, speak. So, I spoke for another 10 minutes or 20 minutes. Ho gaya. Then again, I said, Swami, no, speak, carry on speaking. Then I spoke for about 35 minutes. I spoke for a good 35 minutes on personality development. By then, I had also got exhausted. You see, I was speaking extempo. You can speak a little bit extempo, but unless you're a professional orator, you cannot really speak extempo in front of God. And yet, your speech must make sense. Now, in extempore, at times you, in your weaker moments when you're speaking, you can speak something wrong. You could be stepping on somebody's toes, or it could be something which defeats protocol, or it could be something which is not warranted, or it could be something which is not to be spoken. I spoke for 35 minutes. And then I told Swami, Swami, I am finished, no more. So please don't tell me to speak anymore. Swami laughed. And the children, who were, the students who were sitting around, they also laughed because they heard me. They, you see, everybody there clings on to Swami as close as possible. So you had almost about 8 or 10 who could hear me, 8 or 10 students who could hear me by saying, telling Swami, no more, don't ask me to speak more. Swami said, okay, Pad Namaskar. So I had Pad Namaskar and he blessed me. He gave me a rose and then I sat down. And the thing proceeded. All this time, this was in the evening 3 sessions. All this time, my mother and my wife were sitting outside in the lady's side waiting for me to come back because we had gone in a car and I was driving it. I was not driving it. I had come in my staff car and the car was waiting outside and they couldn't go away without me. So when I came back and I told them I'm finished, I got a dressing down by my mother. And she gave me a good 5 minutes of mouthful lecture that, look, people are not here to listen to your voice. Who are you? You're a non-entity. People have come to listen to Baba, who's God. Why should you be speaking for 35 minutes? You should have spoken for just 3 to 5 minutes and kept quiet. I said to my mother that I am aware of this, but Swami kept telling me, speak, speak, speak. So she said, look, even if Swami says speak, it is just out of politeness and respect for you that he is saying speak. But you don't need to speak so much, 35 minutes. My wife said that he speaks so much at home, I get bored in 5 minutes. Now, I had nothing to say. And I apologized and We went home. Next day morning, we were again back. And next day morning, my mother would always get the first seat in that squares that we have. What do you call it? Quadrangles? Yes, in the quadrangles, she would get the first seat along with my wife. And anybody else, a party of us, he would get or she would get the seat in the second row. Swami came in front of my mother. He looked at my mother and smiled, and my mother just kept this way. He said, "Kal Swami, kal Mataji, kal son ko bahut gussa hua, bahut data. You scolded your son yesterday. Why?" So my mother remembered that she had scolded me for speaking too much. She kept quiet. She says, "Son bahut bolta. My son speaks a lot." So Swami smiled at her and he says, "No, Mataji, that is not the point. I had told him to speak and what he spoke was correct. I wanted him to speak. I was telling him what to speak and he kept speaking." In other words, Swami was instrumental to give me ideas so that I can express it to the mass audience, which was the bulk of the students. The August gathering were all elders. They may not need it, but personality development is an important issue for the students. So he explained it to my mother that there was no reason for you to scold your son because he was under my guidance and I was putting words into his mouth on what all was to be spoken about. So my mother understood the point, but I could make out she still had what she said. She still had that in her mind that I must tell my son to speak a little less. While all the 6 or 7 sessions that I had with Swamis, when I was asked to speak, Swami really, really said, "Bolo, or bolo, speak more, speak more, speak more." So I vetoed my mother in preference to Swami's "speak more." Something on a lighter tone, where I literally took Swami as a friend or as an elder and acted accordingly. Once when I was in Bangalore, I'm in my 90s now. Once when I was in Bangalore, I got a call from a warden in Trey that he has been asked by Swami to give me a call. He said, "I've been asked by Swami to give you a call and to invite you on his behalf. Swami has invited you to attend the sports day." And the sports day was about 4 days to go. I said, "Fine." Because in any case, I was familiar with the sports day because of my help, my support that I gave for the sports day. So since I was still in uniform, I collected a military binocular, a high-powered military binocular, because I knew that you got to see, if you want to see the drill, if you want to see sports, you get a good view with your binocular. Now, when I came, I was escorted by the controller of examination.
Nanjundeya.
He escorted me to the stage and I was seated next to Swami. Swami was on the chair and the row in front corner, I was there and I had a binocular with me. Swami came. When Swami came and got seated, "How's the military?" I said, "Swami, it's fine." He looked at the binocular, he did not say anything, and then a little more dialogues, which I don't remember at the moment. And then the sports meet started. Now, the students come in their march past. The first event is the march past. When the students come in march past, they come from the far side, from the not from the stage side, but from the opposite side where the, from the Adam block side, from the admin block side. That is from where the students come in and then they march past. I had a look at them. I had a look through the binocular and I found it was nice. I told Swami, I said, "Swami, can you see them clear?" He kept quiet. He asked me, "Kaisa hai?" I said, "Swami, very good." I took out the binocular and I said, "Swami, binocular se dekho, bahut acha lag raha hai."
You asked Swami to see through the binocular.
Huh? I said, "See through the binocular, you like it." Now imagine somebody telling God to see through the binocular, a very sheepish comment. But I made it at the spur of the moment. And I told Swami, "See through this, very clear, and they're doing very good marching." Swami looked at me, smiled, He says, binocular ka zurat nahi hai. I don't need binoculars. I know. That's the time I realized, my God, what have I said? How can I give a binocular as an aid to God to have a look in front? I felt sad, but Swami smiled and he let it go. And in the end, he said, binocular se achha dekha? I said, Swami, achha dekha. Kaisa tha drill? I said, Swami, bahut achha tha. Now, these are all just dramatic dialogues. I can't say achha nahi tha. Swami will give me a spanking. So I said, Swami, achha tha. He said, nahi, those students achha nahi kiya hai. Now, there's nothing I could do to say about it.
Swami said, two students have not done well.
Unka marching achha nahi tha. Unko train karna hai. I kept quiet. After the march pass, after the sports day, there's no way I can train. I mean, now the next sports day is next year. But just to link it up, next year, Swami asked me to, after 1 year, 365 days, after 365 days, Swami remembered his dialogue and I got a message to come early and train and practice the complete march pass columns of all the boys and all the girls from the three universities.
Oh, wow.
From the universities. And that is a time when Dr. Venkatraman was my support and he would take me to the stage with the mic and we would practice and they would break them. I would get down, join hands with the students, teach them how to do march pass, join hands with the girls, teach them till the time Venkatraman withdrew me when I was teaching the girls. He said, sir, keep away from the girls. And don't touch them, nothing, you're in Puttaparthi. And I said, oh my God, yes, that's right. You see, that's on the lighter side. But the point was that Swami remembered 365 days later that, yes, I told him that some students had not done correct march pass, please train them. And I have now come on a specific mission. Swami does not forget what he says. He is very precise in his talk. He is very precise in his direction. And he remembers it and he follows it up. Right? Now, coming back to three sessions again, because this is a part of the three sessions. It's the same period. Now, on what does Swami want from his students in terms of the personalities? Again, in one of the three sessions, Swami called me, one of those 6, 7, 8 sessions, I don't remember. And he said, come over. And he said, bolo. I said, Swami, subject. Swami looked at me and he said, pehle discipline ke upar bolo. Speak about discipline. Now, I spoke about discipline. Now, discipline is a little abstract subject, but yet when Swami says speak about it, you have no option but to say, yes, Swami, I will. So I spoke about discipline for about 10 minutes or so. I told Swami, sir, I'm done. He said, no. A personality development ke upar bhi bolo, a little more on personality development. So I spoke a little more on personality development. So when I spoke a little more about personality development, I found it was making a lot of sense to people. I spoke at length. This is the second time which I spoke on personality development. Then I did not use the word smartness. In the fag end, when I had finished, Swami said just 2-3 minutes on smartness. It is very important that my students must remain smart. Especially my students must remain smart. So I spoke about smartness. So one indication that became very obvious was that Swami wants his students to be smart. How smart and what are the other things? I will come to that now. He said, I want them to be smart and I told the students what the smartness is all about. And Swami registered it and I found the students also trying to nod in agreement that yes, this is lacking. The reason is that when students come here, they come from all different backgrounds. Some are from urban areas, there are some who are from rural areas, there are some from well-to-do families, there are some not from well-to-do families, there are some whose culture is different. But smartness is something which should remain common because smartness implies your ability to move in the public or in the public at large all over the world. Because that's what Swami is making students do. To go and serve the whole world and not just confine themselves to their districts and to their farms. Now, The talk finished. Swami came here. I quickly followed it up and I also came here. So when I came here and I was sitting in the portico, Swami told me to get up. I was okay. I had just reached and I had just quickly changed, washed, quite fresh. And I came and stood there. Swami said, stand up. Now, he said, smart lagta. I said, thank you, Swami. I got up. YK Mehta was also sitting there. And I said, thank you, Swami. He saw some cufflinks here, which had a small eye in the center. So he said, fish eye ka cufflinks pehna. Fish eye, if you remember, is pertaining to the Mahabharat period, yes, when the fish eye was the aim for
Arjuna.
I said, yes, Swami. Now, when you're staying like this and you're standing, Swami is a little short. So psychologically, you also try to stoop a little down, and that is how you pay your obeisance to Swami. Swami said, straight khadeo, stand up straight, stand upright. And he said, I like people who stand upright. In Hindi, he said, ke, upright hona acha lagta hai. Upright. Straight upright. I did this, and I looked left and right, and people were wondering, why am I being bullish? So I did it, because they did not know that Swami told me stand upright. Which meant the second issue was, one was smartness. The second issue was, upright means be upright, stand upright. Look like a professional. So I said, yes, Swami. Then he said, he looked at my dress. He said, dress neat hona chahiye. That means you should have a neat dress, wear a neat dress. But this does not wear expensive dress. He is speaking, making use of me as an instrument to speak to the students that this is what he wants. Smartness, good clothes, stand upright. All these things, he said, are important. All these things are important. Then he said that students kai bari bolta hai, unko malum nahi chalta kya bolta hai. They want to speak, but they don't know what to speak. Swami said, I have got a lot of patience. Think and speak. Another issue of personality development is for the students, think and speak. Don't speak and then think. Because then the cat is out of the bag. The words have come out of your mouth already and the damage is done, or they have not had an impact on the listener. Think and speak. I said, yes, Swami, you're absolutely right. These 4-5 points he spoke to me in during those 2 minutes when I was standing and he was walking up and down in the upper portico, which I thought was something which I must communicate to everybody. And through this medium itself, perhaps the word will pass through. And Swami used to be proud of this fact. Proud of the fact. Whenever we went in for an interview during those periods, my mother, my wife, self, Ashish, the grandchildren were not there that time. Swami would say with pride to everybody else sitting in the interview room, military, 3 generations, they are devotees of 3 generations. And I used to feel very nice that Swami is so proud of me and my family. Well, I would always give credit to my mother, because my mother was the one who had broken the ice on this particular familiarity and devotion to Swami. Swami would say, mother, 1st generation, military. He would call me either military or general. Military, 2nd generation, Ashish, 3rd generation. Now, that time the 4th generation had not come in. Though he did make a mention at some stage, abhi 4th generation devotee hai. And that was when my grandson and granddaughter were small children. Then another issue which Swami told me, which people must understand, is that Swami would call me sir. Now, one always gets an impression, or one is always under the impression, that you call your senior sir. Isn't it? You call your senior sir. But Swami, out of sheer respect, would call me sir, and I'm nowhere near senior to him. It therefore implies that sir is a word which is said out of sheer respect for another person. He may be a junior person, he may be a senior person, he may be an elder person, he may be a not so elder person. For instance, if you are in a college and you have a professor who is younger to you, a young boy or something, or you're doing a course of instruction as a manager, you're going to do a course of instruction and you've got a young boy or a young professional, management professional speaking, you do as a senior also, you call him sir when that boy is on the stage. I remember these dialogues which are now speaking to you, whenever Swami called me sir, I said, look at this humility from his side and the respect that he's giving me on the other side. That is the time from thereafter, whenever I talk to anybody with respect, I call him sir. He may be a poor man for all you know. He may be a poor man. I still call him sir. He feels good. And I also feel good that I am respecting him. He could be just a common man. I don't have any ranks to equate him with. But I always call him sir. Out of sheer respect. When we break off from here, I'm going to say, thank you very much, sir, for this interview. Again, coming to another incident. Two of them, I'll narrate them together. I have two rings with me. The first one was this one. And the second one was this one. They came at different times, at different places, on different occasions, in the interview rooms, other than whatever he gave to my wife, my mother and things like that. Now, once, this came first. Once when he was sitting inside, I was playing with Swami's hand like this in the interview room, and Swami put his hand on top of mine. He removed his hand from below and put it on top, and I found him feeling my fingers. It didn't strike me and I was enjoying it. I said, generally, we as devotees play with Swami's feet and Swami's hands. And here Swami is feeling it. What could be it? And I just kept quiet and we kept talking and whatever. Then Swami looked at me. Kya chahiye? I was quiet.
What do you want?
What do you want? He said, what do you want? I was quiet and I said, Swami, I just want peace. I was retired then. I said, Swami, I just want peace. He looked at this thing and he did this. And out came a warm silver ring with Baba's picture on it. He fitted it in. And I found it was a little tight. He put it in. He said, "Theek hai." Now I said that if I say it is tight, he may take it back and not give me another one. So I said, "Ni Swami, perfect fit." He says, "No, it's too tight." Now I was wondering, will it go away? Now here's a lifetime gift I'm getting. If Swami takes it away and he doesn't, is not in a mood to give me another one, I'll be a loser. But then Swami has his own ways. He said, "Nay." And then he said, he showed, I had seen the ring. It was silver with Baba's picture on it. He said, "Nay." Army ke andar, military. He said, not army, he said military. He would not say army, he would always say military. And to me also, he would address me as military or as general. He said, military mein log bolta hai, bolega, they'll criticize you. So, I will change from silver to gold and from Swami to Om. And he read this and out came another ring which he fitted me and this was the ring. That silver got converted. That silver got converted to gold. And what you see here is where Baba was earlier and he felt that in the military, people may talk, how can a man in human body be called God? What is this? Colonel, military, falling astray. Criticism can be there. No, Swami understands everything. He understands the pulse of the whole world. Understands the pulse of humanity. He said, no, let me change it. From silver to gold, for whatever reason, I don't know. And from Baba to Om. I have got Om written here. And this is a universal figurative of God, of spirituality.
Absolutely.
And this is how I got this. I felt very happy. This came later, but that later time. Now, this came 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, whatever period, lots of time passed, 25, 30 years have passed, 25 years. I was playing golf. I go for golf quite regularly in Bangalore. Now, for want of a more stern, more rigorous exercise to do, which I can't with my age. And golf, it gives me about 8.5 to 9 4 hours, 9 kilometers of walk, 4 days a week. So I'm able to clock around 200 kilometers every month walking. Now, in other words, the golf course extend, if you were to walk in the golf course, it is around 8.5 kilometers long. I was wearing this. I wore a glove on top. I wore a glove here. But then at sometimes you remove the glove while you're hitting a golf ball. Now, there are 18 holes. What happened, I don't know. But when I came back and I reached my home, I found this ring gone.
Oh my God.
It was missing. I sweated and I did not know what to do. I ran, I drove back to the golf course, military golf course, and I asked the, well, there were one or two caddies. But if a caddy gets gold in his hand, I'm sure he's not going to give it to me. And they don't know the value of this. So I asked people, bhi koi ring mila, koi dekha, mission nahi sab. There's a shopkeeper who sells golf clubs and golf items. I asked him, tumko kuch mila? He said, nahi. I wondered, I said, my God. I walked through the, it was getting dark. I walked through a few areas and then I said, 9 kilometers, how can I search? It's all grass. It's all grass, and if the ball goes off the grass, that is wild area, undergrowth. How can you look at it? I went home next day. I couldn't sleep the whole night. I kept cursing myself. Why did I take this with me? I spoke to Ashish. I got a mouthful from him. I spoke to my daughter. I got a mouthful from her. My wife, of course, cursed me that, look, I don't know. You get it. How can you lose it like this? Carelessness. I did not know what to do. And I prayed to Swami, please help. Next day, again, I went there and I told him that I put a notice on the board that anybody who finds a golden ring, if you find it, please return it. Its value is more than its gold. I will give you 5,000 rupees. As a reward for returning me the ring. Nothing happened. I was frustrated. Every day I would stand in front of my mandir at home and I would tell Baba, look, Baba, I am not interested. You used to listen to my mother earlier and she demanded and you did whatever it was. I want you to return my ring. You are not here at this moment. In your human body, but I don't know what you do. I can't even go and speak to you because you're not here.
This happened human a few years ago.
He had left his body by then. I said, look, Swami, you got to do something. I want my ring. Every day morning when I went to the office, I would tell him I want my ring. When I came back from work, I want my ring. I started playing golf 4 days, 5 days a week. And through the time I was looking down, can I get the ring in 9 kilometers of walk? Okay, it was wilderness. 1 month. This happened in November. November gone, December gone, January gone. And I kept telling Swami, look, Swami, I am not interested. I want the ring back. You take it from me only when I am dead and gone. And before I go to the mortuary, please take the ring back. But I want the ring back. November gone, December gone, January gone, February gone, March gone. 5 months ho gaya. Then I also started saying that I don't know. But I carried on. Swami, I want my ring. I want my ring. I want my ring. April gone, 5 months without this, and I was feeling miserable. And my son, every time he spoke to me from wherever he has posted, I think it was Bombay, he said, ring mila. I said, kahan se milega? 9 kilometers of wilderness, and even if a caddy picks it up from somewhere, he'll take it. Why should he give it to me? It's gold. And a caddy are, you know, they are just guards and security guards or people who are unemployed, and they come for earning 200 rupees for each course. November gone, December gone, January, February, March, April. On 6th of May, Easterman's Day, I get a call from that shopkeeper. He rang me up and he said, Sab, aapka 3-4 months back kuch guma tha. I said, 3-4 months, nahin, 7 months, 6 months back, I had lost my ring. I said, why has this issue come up now? I said, kya hua? Kya hua? Batao, should I come to you right away? I was about 5 kilometers away. My home was 5 kilometers from, 4 kilometers from the golf course. So he said, sir, here, talk to somebody. And he gave the telephone, his mobile, to an Air Force officer, wing commander, somebody, I'm forgetting his name. And that wing commander said, you lost something? I said, yes, I lost my gold ring. He said, it doesn't look like a ring. Yeah, he said that it doesn't look like a ring, but it's very dirty. I don't know whether it's gold or not, but I found it at such and such hole in such and such place. It was lying in the wilderness and it is all flat. It's a piece. It's just a piece like this. I said, never mind. I am coming to you right away. He said, no, I am going home at the moment. He went and showed it to his wife and he said that this is something I have found and let's keep it with us. He said that finders keepers, losers weepers.
Oh.
His wife, she saw the word Om written there, this one. She said, no, I don't think you should do that. She told her husband, who was a wing commander, no, this must go back to the rightful owner. This has got certain religious or spiritual or, I mean, it has got something more than just the value of gold. That is how he called me. So, I told him that should I come right away? He said, no, come tomorrow morning because now it is 6:30 in the evening and before it gets dark, I think he was a retired man. I must reach home because I don't drive at night. The whole night I kept praying, I hope it's my ring. And my wife also kept saying this, I hope it's my ring. And finally, next day morning when I went to him, he gave me this ring, having lying in the wilderness for 7 months, 6 months.
Wow.
On Ishwarama Day, I got this ring. I took it home with my toothbrush. I cleaned the whole thing. It was flat. Then, a bit of mending I can do.
Yes.
Being a science background. I gave it back this shape by tapping it, by putting a shaper. It's called a shaper. I used something like that, tapped it, cleaned it, did some local shining, toothpaste rubbing, got it back to shape. And thereafter, I wrote a letter of thanks to Swami. 7 months Swami tortured me. 6 months Swami tortured me. I wrote a letter of thanks. Then after about, there was celebration in the sense I'd been found. Ashish was also very happy. My daughter Pooja was also very happy. My wife, again, swooning. And then finally, I said, 7 days back, I wrote a letter to Swami. I think I can now take it away from the mandir. You see, after keeping the letter for 2-3 days, you take it out. Otherwise, you'll have a complete postman's job there. So many letters lying there. So I took the letter out and I found a spot of vibhuti on it. And I said, Swami has acknowledged, received all this. And he said, be more careful on it. Now I'm very careful. Before I wear my gloves, I removed both these things. Put them into my pocket. Initially, I thought I'll put a thread around it and tie it here. My wife said, what about when you bend, when there's a jerk given, you'll again lose it. I said, yes. Now I keep it here. And after every two holes, every half an hour, I put my hand around to see abhi hai na. Now, the point that I'm saying is that if you insist with a genuine heart to Swami, Swami says, I am always there with you and I'll help you out whenever you need me. I told you a number of examples of my mother asking for this. Swami always complied with her demands.
It happens even now, even though he's left the physical.
He's left the body. Yeah, he's there. As far as I'm concerned, he's not gone. He's still there. I talk to him freely at the mandir every day. When I switch on the light and I switch off at night, I say, bye, Swami. Bye, Swami. Afternoon, before I switch off the light at 3 o'clock after lunch, I say, Swami, now you can also go and rest. And I switch off the light. I communicate with him. The reason I communicate is because I have a very strong belief that Swami is already with me, irrespective of his body or not. And here when I demanded, for 5 months Swami tested me. Is this demand genuine? Is this demand from his heart or not? And when Swami found that I'm incorrigible and I'm insisting, he said, let me give this thing and satisfy him. And I got this ring back. This was the second ring that came in. He said, he asked me, where is your engagement ring? Aapka marriage ring kida? Where's your marriage ring? I said, Swami, purana baat ho gaya. I don't have it. He said, wedding ring is a ring for unity between two people. I said, yes, Swami, but I kept quiet. He says, unity between you and me. And he did this and the silver one came. But then again, he said, Sai Baba, no, he said, Swami, nahi, Siddhi Baba Deega. Again, he had this in mind that since I'm going to be wearing it for the rest of my life, let nobody criticize Colonel Malhotra that why are you having Swami, who was then in human form, his ring. So both here, Sai Baba changed to Om. Here, Sai Baba changed to Siddhi Baba, which I know is one and the same thing. These two rings came at different times. And then you see, Swami is very kind. I come from a family. I got sanskars from my parents. My parents were very clean and my father was a very simple soul, very simple soul. My mother, she was a tomboy, but she was able to refine herself very well as soon as she came into Swami's fold. Now, just a small this thing of where my parents are. When my father passed away, we came here. After passing away and all the functions that we have, after all that, I had taken leave, we came here and we told Baba. You see, those days, since Baba was not very communicative, one would always write a letter and also say that if I get an opportunity while giving the letter, I'll speak to him also. So my mother, naturally, my mother had the right on her husband rather than the son on his father. So my mother had the letter with her, and when Swami came, she gave the letter with tears in her eyes and she told him, I lost my husband. Swami looked at her, he nodded and he said, Mere paas hai, and he walked away. So that was a consolation. Hey, now Swami was able to understand what's going on in the wife's heart.
He said, he's with me.
And he said, he's with me. Then we said, no, it is very good. A simple man, my father, her husband, and Swami says, he's with me, don't worry. You carry on with your life. We turned the page. Now I go to my mother. I lost my mother 1 year before Swami. 1 year. Here again, she passed away. Before that, about 6 months earlier, she came here, normal darshans. And Swami again, as usual, whenever my mother came, he would always take time out with her. He said, Kaisa hai? She said that, Swami, bahut pain karta idhar udhar. Swami said, Mataji, you can't fight nature, can you? He said, no. You can't fight time, can you? My mother said, no. He says, I am also in human body, you are also in human body. You can't fight time, you can't fight nature. I can't fight time. I can't fight nature. We did not know what he meant was at that time, except that he was trying to tell my mother that it's nature to a body which is born must decay and go. You can't fight time because there's a time for the body to come and go. He left it at that. 6 months later, my mother passed away. It was a very nice, clean death. She was not ailing very badly, though I could make out at 85 years, she was ailing. And once they passed away and things, rituals were finished, I again came back here with a letter. And Swami was unwell that time, as you are aware, in the last 2, 3, 4 years, he was unwell. He was there on the chair. This happened just 1 year before Swami himself decided to leave. So Swami came to me. I gave him a letter. It was an open letter, not in an envelope, open, just to inform him that my mother has passed away. I was seated and Swami came and his chair came in front of me. I showed it to him. I think his eyes were wet. His eyes were wet. He used to remember, he wouldn't talk much those days.
Yes.
He was quite, his body was in a state of disrepair. He looked at me, he looked at the letter, folded it. He had wet eyes when he read it. Of course, he knew it. And then he raised his hand and did it this way, trying to say that your mother is with me. And then he gave that letter back to me and he said, carry on. All people around at that time in the portico were very touched. They did not know what that letter was, which they came to know later, but they certainly knew there's something sad because Swami, when he came to me, he had a small smile. He didn't smile much during those days, that last 12 months. He did not have much of a smile, but all of a sudden when he read the letter, he showed a tear in his eyes. A very rare thing. Hog and God show a tear, but the eyes were wet, I could make out. But then something very magnanimous, something very good was when he raised his arm, which he wouldn't raise earlier. He just raised his arm to say that your mother is with me. I felt happy that my father is also gone with him, merged with him. My mother has also merged with him. And I came back with that consolation from here back and told all my relatives, my mother's daughters and everybody else that this is what's happened. The point that I am trying to say is that if you are genuinely in love with God, God looks after you. If you are genuinely pure at heart and you are a person to be proud of by God, God will not let you come back again. Life is not very comfortable. He'll keep you with Him, absorb you with Him. And thereafter, what happens, I don't know. Some people call it moksha. Some call it mukti. Whatever. I have a consolation that my father and mother lived their full life and they have gone back and God Himself has said they are with me. What happens thereafter is God's. That is the only way we console ourselves, and I think it's quite a ritual consolation. It's quite a correct consolation that Swami has said, both of them are with me. I presume both my parents have got mukti or moksha after they left. I wish I too would get a similar exit.
Wonderful.
I have enjoyed this and I'm feeling very light now that I have passed it on to the next generation and to the others, and I don't go away with a heavy heart at any time when I'm called. At least whatever was there in me, important issues, I have passed it on. Rest is up to Swami Himself to see what is what. Thank you, Swami, for giving me this opportunity to talk about you and to talk about our association with you. We are very grateful to you and we remain yours loving. Sayonara.